And welcome back to Coast to Coast, where we have open lines here for you now. Just about anything goes. Lots going on these days. My gosh, as the clock continues to tick, tick, tick. But let's get to the break and come right back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Hey, at the end of the program, we're going to try that little television show contest again. I want to give away these books and have somebody guess that, but we'll do that at the last half. Let's go to the phones. Kelly in Columbus, Ohio, to get things started. Hi, Kelly.
Well, hello, Mr. Norrie. Appreciate you taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey, your last guest would have loved to hear this one, but my whole life, like I was telling Tom, I was born January 6th, 1966.
Okay.
1666.
Too many sixes there for you.
Yes, it is. Well, that's not the worst of it.
I
know you don't believe in coincidences and stuff, so and I grew up at my address, won't name the street, but it was 1666. Okay? I get my Social Security card. You know, my mother got that when I was probably not even in kindergarten yet. It's full of sixes.
Wow.
6666. Yeah. And my first ATM card, when they come out with ATMs back in the late 70s, 1666.
Oh,
jeez. So, yeah. But I can't, you know, I don't play that. I can't play those numbers or nothing because, you know, I have the worst luck if I try to do anything to benefit myself. So, you know, I don't know. You got any input on this?
Has anything tragic happened to you because of those numbers?
I don't know if it's hooked to the numbers or not, but yeah, I've had some pretty serious things happen in my past, you know, in my life. So, but, you know, I don't think it's hooked to the numbers. I think just, you know,
just happens.
Being a kid.
Just part of living.
You know? But it's always, I don't know, I won't say it's haunted me because it doesn't bother me, but it sure the heck bothers everybody else for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Those numbers, man, make people freak out on that, Kelly.
Yes, they do. But all right, I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, great. Thanks for the call. I know once I got a credit card, and the three-digit code on the back, 666. I really wanted to throw that card away. I really did. Roy is in Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Roy, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. First time to talk with you. The first time, I talked to Dave Schrader about 2.5 years ago, but I had to call in tonight because this month is the one-year anniversary that I purchased the book written by you and Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Talking to the Dead.
Good for you.
Excellent book, easy to read, very informative. And before I get into that part, I need to, first of all, I have a lifetime of very powerful spiritual experiences, some witnessed and documented by others, including a near-death experience way back in 1976 where I died on the side of a road after a tragic car accident. And even the state police officer who was investigating it came into me in the hospital several days later, and he asked me, how did I know what it took them several days to find out? And I told him that I had a dream the night after that, and it was like I was watching it all transparently happening. So that's not the purpose why I'm calling in. This is because about a year and a week ago, I purchased your book, Talking to the Dead, and 15 to 20 minutes after I purchased it, I was in a store as a gourmet food and wine type store.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was checking out, the cashier, I don't know if this had anything to do with it or not, but she was wearing a pentacle. She's a good person.
Okay.
I also wear a pentacle and an ankh. And that's another story independently. But so anyhow, this the cashier, just being cordial, says to the woman, hey, how's your night going? She said, oh, it's going to be another rough night. This is the anniversary of my father dying in a car accident. Which I'd already, decades before, died along the side of the road and got revived. And I stepped out of line and thought, let me grab a drink of water here.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and do that. And by the way, Talking to the Dead is still available. It's still out there.
It is a very excellent book.
Thank you.
So I'm talking with this woman, And I was telling her about my experience, and that yes, your father's fine. It sounds like you had a very good, caring relationship between you and your father. Don't worry about him. He's fine. And then I went on to tell her about how on Christmas Eve, actually it was between 12:24 and 12:27 on Christmas morning, that I had a visitation from my grandfather, who had died like 15, 20 years earlier, and who had given me his Masonic Bible from the 1930s.
Wow.
Years before he died, and he gave it to me, and they said, I want you to have this. And I said, well, thank you, Grandpa, because I cut their grass for several years, him and my grandmother. I said, well, thank you very much, Grandpa, but I already have two Bibles at home. He said, no, I want you to have that Bible. There's going to be a time in the future when you're going to want that Bible. And he visited me when I was awake doing dishes. I'll get back to that later, but I really want to get on to the book part. There's just so many experiences, like I say, so a week after I purchased the book and encounter this woman, I'm going home, standing on this traffic island, and I hear in my head this voice say, you need to step about 10 to 15 feet to the left. And I turned and I looked around, and I've crossed through this traffic island, standing on it several thousand times over 10 years, walking to and from stores.
Sure.
And I stepped 10 to 15 feet off into the grass, off this yellow island.
As it told you, right?
Yeah, like, well, no, that wasn't my granddad. This was just a voice in my head.
All right.
And I'm just thinking, okay, well, something's going to happen. And all of a sudden, I hear long, loud cars blaring. Horns blaring and tires screeching. And this car jumps up, covers the entire area where I was standing. And I looked over, and it would have catapulted me right.
Oh, would have killed you.
Yeah, it would have catapulted. And this was almost 9 o'clock, and there were these two lanes of cars coming bumper to bumper. And I've gone through this several thousand times. Most of the time, they're not traveling that fast. But it was like they were starting at the Daytona 500 race or something like that.
Oh, you would have been smashed, Roy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked up, and I just said, thank you.
Now, who is that little voice in your head?
My grandmother, even when I was 4 years old, used to call it my little birdie. It turns out that I have...
It's been with you since you were born.
It's been on both sides of my family through several generations of my grandmothers. And it turns out one of them was into the Amish and the hex signs. And I've got Cherokee on the other side of my family. And
it's got to be your guardian angel.
I have more than one, because I figured out about a year ago that I've got 16 or 17 times when I should have been killed. I've been through 3 carjacking attempts. Attempted muggings twice with knives. Shot at Jeez. Several times, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose.
Roy, your guardian angel is working overtime, my friend. Hey, by the way, we take tweets and text messages, and we're going to do that for the open line portion of this hour. Tom, you've got one. What do you have?
Oh, man, is that guy lucky.
What a story, huh?
Gosh. So this is a tweet from Carrie Ann.
By the way, remember when we did that show on You Have 9 Lives, How Many Have You Used?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was great.
Interesting stuff. I want to know I want you to ask him how he got shot at. I mean, people just got shot at every day.
All kinds of stuff he was in.
This is a tweet from Carrie Ann. Do you have a good luck charm? If you do you carry it everywhere or just when you need a boost?
The good luck charm for me, I think, is within myself. That's it. And, I'm not really a believer in luck, in coincidence. I think we make things happen. I think fate determines a lot of things. Don't you? Do you think you're lucky, Tom, or do you think it's you?
I think it's mostly the person and their attitude, but I also think there is luck to playing it. I mean, if somebody goes out and buys a lotto ticket and they win like 10 grand, isn't that luck that you won? Isn't that
chance.
Lucky?
It's chance.
But it's a lucky feeling. You're lucky. You've charmed.
But here's where fate comes in.
Okay.
What made that guy go and get that lottery ticket at that time? Now, let's assume he didn't pick the numbers, but the computer did. So he goes at that exact time, and that computer gave him the numbers. It could have given it to somebody else, but at that moment, he got those numbers. What was it that made him go there? What kind of thing? I think it was fate.
Well,
fate is in your head, and it just says, you know, go pick up a lottery ticket. The timing was there.
Well, I guess he would take the money either way, wouldn't he?
Yep.
Cool.
All right, cool. And you'll have another one for us the next half, of course. Let's go to Gary in Austin, Texas. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Very welcome.
I'm going to try to make this the Reader's Digest version of my story. The first part happened approximately 30 years ago. I'm going to jump forward, though, to approximately 25 years ago. I was renting a basement in this old house here in Austin, and the house was approximately 100 years old. But what happened one night after I got off work, I went home, and it was approximately 11 o'clock at night, and I get to the door of the basement, and I hear this hissing sound. I open the door, and my basement is flooded, totally flooded, and the faucet in the kitchen, which is the only other room, had exploded while I was at work, and it was flooded.
And nobody's there. Oh, God.
Nobody was there. And it was like, you know, nothing has changed in this basement in approximately 100 years. Like I said, there was still a dumbwaiter in there and all kind of stuff. And where the servants used to live or whatever you want to call them. But anyway, fast forward a little bit. My brother had moved in with me to stay for a little while. And the living area was also my bedroom, and I had a couch and a bed in there. But anyway, my brother got a job at the same place where I worked. I was a night manager at this place, and he worked the day shift. But anyway, we're both at home one night, and it was in the a.m. hours, and no light can get into this basement as far as car lights or anything like that and when it's dark. And anyway, we're asleep, and next thing you know, my brother's sleeping on the couch. I'm sleeping on my bed, which are probably about 4 feet apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake up, but I can't move. It's freezing cold in there in the summertime. I didn't have an air conditioner either in there. All we used were fans. And my sheet was wrapped up like a rope and wrapped around my neck very tightly, which I did not do, or my brother did not do.
You mean almost like you were being strangled?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then the next thing you know, all I can move are basically my eyes, and I look over, and there's this white orb, the color of like a fluorescent light tube, and it was more of the shape, an oval shape, like a tadpole. It had a tail and everything, and it was about the size of a regular hardball baseball, and it was moving over my brother and then coming over towards me. It was about 4 feet off the ground, just floating over my brother. The tail was moving, but not as fast as the tadpoles, but just moving, kind of like a tracer. And then it came over beside me and went from my head down to my feet, and then it went over to the middle of the room. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up the next morning, and my brother was at work for the day shift, and I'm like, what the hell was this? And then he's coming home from his shift in the afternoon, and I'm about to go to work, and we pass each other. I'm like, hey, John, did you see what I saw last night? He's like, yeah, man, you know, I did, you know. We talked about it later on, and we confirmed our stories, and that was just one thing. But similar things have happened to us, you know, over the years, approximately 30 years ago.
Always the same place or all over the place?
No, all over the place. Would you like to hear the first part?
I'll take one more real quick one. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, I'll make this one really quick. This was the first part. Approximately 30 years ago, we were living in Houston, and we're asleep, and we're living in the same house, and our mother had just passed away. She had been died in a car wreck just down the road.
Oh, God.
Same road I got ran over by a truck on. But anyway, my brother and I are still living in the house, and we're awake, but we're not. We're asleep, but it's like there's this heavy weight on our stomachs. We can't lift up or anything. We can't talk. Our eyes are rolling around in the back of our head. We can't focus on anything. And it happened to both of us a couple of times. One time when we were in the house together, and then one time he was spending the night at a friend's, and it happened to him, and we saw each other the next day, and we're like, hey, it happened again. So we don't know what the hell is going on.
Jeez.
But it has nothing like this that I know of has happened in approximately 25 years. My brother may not have talked about it, but I don't recall anything like happening anything like happening like this in quite some time. So it's just like, I'm not sure what this is.
You know? Yeah, a lot of paranormal stuff around you folks. Hey, thanks for that. Today, by the way, would have marked my parents, had my dad still been alive, 68th wedding anniversary. Isn't that amazing? Almost, almost. Next up, Ginger's in San Pedro, California. Hi, Ginger. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I've been on a mission to try to call your show.
Well, you made it.
Yes, and it's been many nights I've been calling and just busy, busy, busy.
Well, tell me what the mission is now. What do you
mean? Well, because whatever prompted me to try to call the first time, I forgot what that was. But then I was just trying, like, I don't know if it's possible to call your show. Anyway,
you got in.
I was shocked tonight, so I really just wanted to say hello and how really pleased I am when I hear your voice on Friday nights, because I never expect you.
Oh, I will be off on generally maybe one Friday a month. That's it. I don't take vacation weeks, so what you'll get is a little sprinkle of a Friday here and there. Sometimes two, depending on traveling. Like, I'm off next Friday. I'm going to Asheville to get ready for the Saturday event, but generally, I'm there a lot. And you know, how long have you been listening, Jane?
Since you started.
Oh, so you know, we put in the holidays or live programs. You know the gamut, right?
Yes, I do. And I listen pretty much every night and don't sleep. And I just, I've never called. So I just wanted to call
and say
hello.
Huh? Okay. Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
With everything that's going on in the world these days, I mean, what would you say would be the one thing that concerns you the most?
Geez. I think that the United States is going to hell in a handbasket, if you can say that.
It's been happening for a while.
Yes, it has, but it's, like, really terrible. And I don't know what's causing all this racial strife that I thought was long behind us, but I feel like it's being pushed from somewhere. I'm not sure the reason.
There's a bad agenda out there somewhere.
Yeah.
To be sure.
And also the grid business bothers me a lot.
I hope we get this done. I'm not going to give up. Not going to give up. All right, thanks, Ginger. Thanks for calling. I'm glad you got in finally.
Right. Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. I think we have time for maybe one more quick call. Frida in Texas. Hi, Frida.
Well, hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm fine. If we don't have time, I'll hold you over, but go ahead.
Well, I wanted to tell you a story about something that happened to me and my husband about 30 years ago. I'm 73 right now, and I was
sound
in my
like
early 40s.
Sound like you're 40 years old.
Well, thank you.
Really,
it happened to me when I was in my 40s. And we were bass fishermen, and we fished the tournament circuit. And this particular day in question, we fished a tournament on Lake of the Pines in East Texas. And we won a prize. And our best friends happened to come up there and at the weigh-in, and they said hi to us and everything. And they said, "You look tired. Why don't you give us the fish and come over to our house after you drop your boat off and eat dinner with us?" And so she said, "I'll cook it and you won't have to." So
sounds like
a
plan.
Yeah. And so they looked at their watch and they said, "Well, you'll be at our house about 5 o'clock, so it'll be ready." And so they all knew how where we lived and how long it took, as many trips as we've made back and forth. So they were correct about the time. So we went home, dropped the boat off, changed clothes real quick, fed the dogs, got back in the car, headed for their house.
All right, hold on right there, Frida. We're going to come back and pick it up. Everybody remember this. They've given the fish away to their friends. They're going over to the house to eat it. We'll be back and pick up the story. Boy, we've got some great shows coming up on Beyond Belief. Definitely watch it and hook it up to your flat screen and watch it that way. BeyondBelief.com, that's the website to get to the program. BeyondBelief.com, and look for the program I did with David Wilcock that's coming up too. And I did one way in the beginning with David that is still way up there in terms of viewership. It's just a cool show. So this weekend, Dave Schrader on Saturday, my colleague George Knapp on Sunday. Live programs for you 7 nights a week. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. And Richard in Marseilles, Illinois, east of the Rockies with us. Richard, take it away.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Hey, years ago I worked in the nuclear industry. And anyway, I picked up a hot particle one time, George. And
what happened?
I was working on the stop valve or the control valve. And you've got a staging area. You pick up your clothing, your protective clothing, and then you go ahead and put it on, and then you do your job. And then they have floor monitors that you step into and push your hands in these plates, and it checks your front, and you turn around and checks your back. I couldn't get within 40 feet of the monitors. They were going off, bells and whistles. And so I ended up, they brought rad protection up, and they went ahead and pinpointed the particle on my lower back, and I wore underclothes. I wore shorts, and then I would wear a short-sleeve T-shirt under my protective clothing. The hot particle got all the way in and back against my skin, and so they ended up, I got rode up, and I had to take them back in after they got the particle off me. But they got off me with duct tape.
That was the way they got it off, huh?
Yeah. And I asked him, I said, well, how big is it? And he said, you know, a needle and thread that you would sew a button on your shirt if one come off? The needle, the particle was 10 times smaller than the point.
Wow. Well, what could have happened to you?
What could have happened to me?
Yeah.
Well... I don't know, but I was sure glad to get rid of it. But like I said, they removed it with a piece of duct tape.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Now let's go back to Frida in Texas, first-time caller. And you remember the story. They caught a fish. They gave it to their friends who are going to cook it up for both of them. And now they're on their way over to the house. What happens, Frida?
Okay, well, our friends lived about 45 minutes away from St. Pedro Lake Merval in around Carthage, Texas. So we were headed there, and we got about 5 miles into our trip, and the last thing I remember was stopping at a red light in this little town about 5 miles from our house. And then the next thing I remember was crossing the bridge at Lake Merval, turning down the little road where my friends live, and driving up into their driveway. And they come running out all of a sudden. Where in the world have y'all been? My God, the fish is cold. We were so worried about you. And we said, well, we came straight here. And they said, you couldn't have. I said, well, we did. We didn't stop nowhere. And she said, Freebie, do you know what time it is? I said, no, I left my watch at the house. She said, Freebie, it's 6:30.
Oh,
and so
missing
I sat back
time.
A minute, and I looked at my husband, and he looked at me. And we didn't say anything for about a minute. And then he, a non-believer in anything paranormal, popped up and said, you know, folks, I think we might have been abducted by aliens.
Yeah, missing time. What do you think?
And
you think maybe that happened?
I don't know what to think. I've wondered every day of my life ever since it happened.
It is weird. It is strange.
If they did something to me, if they put something in me, or if it really happened, what else could it have been?
Hey, Frida, you want to try to win some books?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to play something for you. It's a TV show, and you've got to guess the name of the show, and you might get it because you're 73, right?
Yes.
All right. Let's listen in. All right, Frida, what do you think? What's the name of that TV show?
I can't think of it.
You don't know?
No.
Okay, thanks for trying. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Blair, welcome to the program.
Oh, please, George, let me do your contest.
Well, all right, I'm going to play it for you. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Thank you. right, player. This is now the third week, and nobody has guessed it yet.
But wasn't that the employer of Mr. Green Jeans, known as Captain Kangaroo?
Yes, you got it. You got it. How did you know? Did you ever watch Captain Kangaroo?
All the time. I remember when they changed the theme song, George, and I liked the original one better.
I think that was the original one.
You bet. That was the original.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold by the time you're done, and I'm going to get your address. We're going to get you some books, okay?
Thanks.
I'm glad you got that. I may have one more for people, but go ahead.
Your book, Journey to the Light.
Yes.
Page 277.
All right. Don't have it
with Arizona. You were talking, you had this fellow that had, or a lady that had this diary, and talked about a spacecraft over our northern Arizona. And then it goes to page 278. I just got to read the top line here.
Okay.
It says, "We like Arizona. There are certain places we can go where we receive, and Arizona is one of those places."
Uh-huh.
And the question is, what do you receive here? Answer, there are a number of good people in Arizona. Through their works, their goodness, their spiritual practices, they have created patterns of positive energy that we receive from. Then the question, do you work outside of the United States? No, all of our work is done over the United States. And the last question, what are you doing that is so specific to the United States? Answer, monitoring nuclear energy. Hey, thanks, George. I love your book.
You got it. Hey, Blair, thank you so much. Good to have you part of the program. And a final text message or tweet, what do we have, Tom?
I got to tell you first, that last, that little musical thing, Captain Kangaroo, right?
I just hung up on Blair. He's going to call back. We got to get his
address.
Well, he calls a lot. So you
we have never,
turn your speakers down.
We have never played.
Turn your speakers down.
I am right now.
All right.
We've never played any trivia where people have called all week trying to guess that.
Oh, they were going crazy.
That one was
they couldn't sleep.
You got them,
folks,
man.
That was like the theme song from the show Captain Kangaroo. You know, it was our little kid show.
Amazing. So we have a tweet from Gus. He says, "Yo, George, Gus here. You think one of those vortexes is responsible for the disappearance of Flight 370?
That's one of our theories in the book. Mm-hmm. Someone is hiding something. We still just don't know. You know, little particles of wreckage have shown up on some islands, and some people say, hey, it's definitely the plane, but I don't know. There's something weird. I do think, though, also, if you rule out the strange stuff, I think that pilot tanked that plane. He took it down. I think he committed suicide.
That's almost up there with, like, the Kennedy assassination.
And isn't that, one of the weirdest by the way, things. Isn't that disgusting? Because there was that other pilot, a couple times pilots have committed suicide. How about, remember the one where the pilot left to go to the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
And the co-pilot locked him out and ran into
in.
A mountain?
Yep.
How would you like to be on that plane? I've seen you with just turbulence.
I hate
how
turbulence.
Would you like to be on that plane knowing that this guy's going to fly you into a mountain?
This last
unbelievable.
Week, this last weekend, for beyond belief, the biggest dip ever I have had in a plane.
From L.A. to Denver?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I came in from, where did I come in from?
You from St. Louis.
Yeah, from St. Louis.
Hey, are you going to go see Sully?
I'm going to wait till it comes out on the video.
Looks pretty good.
It's with Tom Hanks. I do want you to get Tom Hanks on the program, though.
We're trying. We've been trying.
Okay, so that is the last little tweet or text for the night. Put it away. Until next time, Tommy. Thank you so much. Let's go to Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, George. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Okay, so I got a crazy ghost story. All right, well, I'm only in my 20s, and this is my freshman year in college, and this is actually the same semester that I discovered your show, so it's kind of interesting. So we all decided to go to Denny's, and which is, like a sit-down, eat-out restaurant, and somewhere we weren't under the influence or anything. So we're driving down this road, and it's dark, and this is our first time deciding to drive somewhere we don't know the exact location. We're just going off of somebody telling us where to go.
Yeah.
So we're going down this road, and it's really dark. And there's like maybe two light posts, and it's maybe, I'm talking about maybe a 5 mile distance. So there's four of us in the car. I'm sitting in the back seat on the left side, and my friend's sitting on the right side. So he's looking out the back window, and he's just staring, and he's just like, and I look back too, and he's like, man, this road looks scary. He just says it, you know, and I look back and I say, yeah, it does look, you know, kind of scary. So for some reason, we just kept looking back, and next thing we know, we see this, like a figure, like, I don't know how to truly explain it, but it was like a white shaped figure from far away. It was like way down the street, but it was like keeping up with the car.
Like ghostly.
Yeah, it was like, it was keeping up with the car with the distance that it was from.
That's scary.
So I'm like, what in the world? So this one light pole comes up, and as we're looking back, as the sign of the light comes over it, it speeds up to the car more faster than we're going. We're going at least 50 miles.
Jeez.
And when I seen the shape, it was the shape of a woman, a Caucasian woman, maybe in her 20s.
But still ghostly looking?
Yes, very ghostly. Like, I could see through it. And it was like, she had like a white gown on, and it was like, I couldn't see her feet. But when I saw that, how close it came, it was maybe like 20 feet from the car. And I turned around, I said, oh, I like yelled it out really loud. And when I turned around, it was gone. My friend said, when I told them, I said, I didn't see any feet, but my friend said he saw feet running really extremely fast, like something out of this
That's
world.
Rude. But
like,
nothing happened to you guys, right? No accident or anything?
Oh, no accident. We made it to Denny's, but then it got a little crazier because when I got back to campus, this girl calls me. She's freaking out. And I'm like, oh, God, what's going on? Because I already seen something tonight. And she's like, I took a picture by this tree. And
jeez, these ghosts were everywhere. Jeez, thanks for calling.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.